Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is observed in the church as the Festival of Pentecost. It's one of the oldest of the festivals in the church. In fact, it dates back into the Old Testament. It was an Old Testament festival, and then just happens to be that day on which the church remembers the coming of the Holy Spirit on the gathered church in Jerusalem, filling the apostles and others with the Holy Spirit, with whose power then they proceeded into the world and just sort of kept going until we're here this morning. Thank you for wearing red, those of you who did. It's the color of the day. Is really the last festival in the festival half of the church year. Next Sunday, as you only get away with doing in the church, we'll start the non-festival half of the church year with a festival, which will be the Feast of the Holy Trinity. I won't be here. Dara, granddaughter Dara, and Karen and I and the rest of our clan will be on the beach. We'll be thinking about you. Actually, no, we won't. But maybe in retrospect, at some point we'll think about it. A couple of things. There is fellowship following the service, so please come down and join us for that. And while you're down there, take out a little pen or writing instrument and sign your name on the sheet, promising to do something about that in the future, to host the fellowship, time for us to get together after the worship service. You may know, if you're on the prayer chain, or if you know somebody who is on the prayer chain and gossiped to you about it, that Pastor Glenn and Keisha have found a house, had an offer accepted on a house out in Hayesville. Apparently, I guess people do live in Hayesville, so in fact, most of you live in Hayesville, now that I'm looking at you. And hopefully that will happen around the 26th of June, so keep them in their prayers. Don't know if they're going to be living under a bridge or where they're going to be living until then, but they close on their house in Hickory this coming week. Confusion reigning supreme. Lucy graduates from high school somewhere in there, or maybe last week already. So keep them in your prayers as well. Take a look at your worship folder. Everything you need to know about the service is printed there. All of the hymns are printed for you. There will be no sung liturgy as such, although we will be using hymns as portions of the liturgy. The hymn of praise is printed, Father Most Holy. When we get to the communion liturgy, we will be singing verses of Holy Spirit, the dove sent from heaven. Bit of an Hispanic flavor to the melody. We do not have a mariachi band, although I was lobbying for one and didn't get that. But those will be the verses that will be sung intermittently in the communion liturgy. Dorothy wants me to say to you, if you're interested in singing, you should talk to her after the service. You may end up talking to her whether you're interested in singing or not, or if you have the capacity to ring a bell and count, you could talk to her about ringing bells so that we get back into our choral and instrumental season. With that, we continue with the prelude, and then we will introduce the service. Thank you.
give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and we will be his people, and he will be our God. Please kneel or remain standing or be seated as you are able. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocence, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We stand to sing the hymn.
Jesus loves
the little children.
They are.
Oh. Oh.
Good morning. You okay, bud? Okay. Look what I brought today. It's not working right now, is it? No. You know, it's a fan. You guys know what this is. So first, we have to, right back here, there's a power button. Now it has power, and now I'm going to turn it on. See what's going on. See if it's working. What do you think? Can you tell if it's working? Is it working? What do you think? How can you tell it's working?
This and my
feel. Okay, you feel the air, and what about that? What's going on with those? Those streamers are going up, so we can see the streamers. We can feel the air.
And you can see the, it used to be just like.
Those blades? Mm-hmm. And can you hear anything?
Yeah.
We can hear the air too. So we can't really see the air, but we see the streamers. We can't really hear the air.
You hear the fan.
You hear the fan. But you can kind of feel the air. Today's story that Pastor John was talking about, this festival of Pentecost, the very first time that happened, sounds familiar. You usually see a lot of red, and you see some little pieces of fire. There's some pictures of that on some of the banners and on our pyramids today. The very first time that happened, there are some, you can come, there were people who spoke a whole lot of different languages all gathered at a festival together. And the disciples who had been promised by Jesus before he went back up to heaven that the Holy Spirit would come to them that day, little pieces of fire came on top of their heads and they heard a big wind. And then something very special happened. Not only did they have little pieces of fire, not only did they feel and hear a big wind, they could talk in the languages of the people who had come.
Oh,
well, you know, I think it came a little bit on top of their heads, not touching them, maybe kind of hovering. And they feel the power of the Holy Spirit because out of their mouths came some different languages. And so then the people that were there heard about Jesus and they believed what they heard. And then after that, they all went back home and they could tell about what they heard in their own language to people who hadn't heard about it before. And then the disciples went back to speaking their own languages. So today, kind of like Pastor John said, it's kind of like the birthday of the church. It's like when the church first started telling each other, going to other places, so more and more people could hear what Jesus did. More and more churches got built, so more and more people could hear about Jesus. Absolutely right. Now, what about the Holy Spirit now? He is still working that same way. Now, we hear about the Holy Spirit when we come to church. And have you ever heard this? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Every time. When you were baptized here or in another spot, the pastor would have said, I baptize you in the name of the, can you say it with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's very important. And that Spirit helps us be joyful. He helps us be forgiving. He helps us have self-control when we need it. He helps us be kind. And he helps us remember who Jesus is and what he did for us. Let's thank God for his Holy Spirit. You can fold up. Dear God, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit.
So that we will always remember what Jesus did. And tell other people about him. Amen. You can go back. Thanks for coming up.
On this day of Pentecost, the Old Testament reading is from Numbers chapter 11. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With me, I would graciously help me.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the seventh chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. We join the people of God in every time and place, confessing together our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God,
begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated to sing the hymn. Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm a storyteller, most of you know that, and those of us who do this sort of thing are always on the lookout, or the listen out, I suppose, for bits of material out of which we can stitch together a tale or two. A good story, if it's going to remain faithful to the context in which it is set, will of necessity have an established fact or two in its foundation, but the warp and the woof and the rest of the story, while not necessarily made up, usually takes some figuring out. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about my fascination with the stories that we just don't know. We're not told about that defined the lives of those first followers of Jesus in those probably 10 years or so after his resurrection and ascension. And of course, what we
don't know is left almost entirely to speculation, but if you know me at all, you know that I'm pretty comfortable wandering around in speculation, so there's that. But in this case, there isn't much left to figure out. We're told pretty much the whole story. The fact is, Luke remembers them for us in this powerful book of his, give us all the amazing information that we need around which to tell the story of what happened with those guys, those who eventually found their way down from northern Galilee to Jerusalem and from there out into the whole world with this message about the mighty works of God. They were shaped by some truly extraordinary things that happened to them, primarily among those life changers was this story that was told in the second lesson for today. And it's fair to say that those events that we keep retelling for ourselves on the day we still call Pentecost are still changing us today. I am fascinated by what must have been an absolutely mind-blowing set of dynamics at work in that first church on that day. It seems clear the apostles were unaware of what was about to happen to them. And at first it isn't clear that they recognized what was happening to those around them because of what had happened to them. And hadn't been rehearsing all of this, I don't think. I'm convinced that right up until the very moment that those magnificent words started coming out of their mouths, they had no idea what they were going to say or if they were going to say anything at all, let alone that what they would say would introduce one of the most consequential events in the history of the world. This gang of world changers had certainly not been sitting around in the temple precincts of Jerusalem waiting, expecting the Holy Spirit to transform them into multilingual public speakers of unprecedented quality. They were where they were because it was what they had determined for themselves to do. It was their routine now. As devout Jews, they observed the Jewish calendar, and the festival of Pentecost was on that calendar, the traditional day of celebration among their community, bookended by the festival of the week of weeks of Passover on the other end. And then they had established a pattern of celebrating those special days in their small group of young folks who were followers of Jesus of Nazareth. They believed he was the Messiah of God. And though they had seen him executed, they had also miraculously seen him alive again. And then after he had challenged them to witness the truth about him into the whole world and promised to send them his Holy Spirit, then he had gone up out of their sight into the clouds. And so there they were, waiting in Jerusalem as Jesus had instructed them when it happened. A noise filled the whole city, and the Holy Spirit filled them, and the fiery presence of God hovered over their heads, and a sound, big sound, like a rushing mighty wind had raced through the streets and piqued the interest of a great many people who were in town from all of the countries in the world into which the Jewish people had been scattered. And when those folks got to the place where the sound had led them, they experienced something far more astounding than this curiously inviting noisy wind. This batch of cosmopolitan visitors were able to clearly understand the words that they heard coming out of the mouths of these Galileans. And I don't know that we will ever be able to grasp completely how that phenomenon presented itself. It just was pretty amazing, I guess. What we do know is that the apostles were speaking, and while these people from all over the world, from a variety of cultural and academic and socioeconomic backgrounds may have thought of those people as being, you know, sort of parochial and unlearned, and to their astonishment, they understood what those guys were saying. And what they heard and understood was that the wonders of God were being declared to them. And while the crowd was astonished, maybe the most surprised people in the room were the ones out of whose mouths those wonders were being spoken. But perhaps then, just as amazingly, when the audience asked the obvious questions, these startled, spirit-filled disciples gave the appropriate response. Once the apostles had the attention of those who had been gathered by the sound of an enticing wind and had no doubt been amazed to see flames of fire hovering over the heads of the speakers, the disciples never mentioned the sight and the sound effects ever again. When they spoke, and they did so clearly, about Jesus, and the word has never been the same, but they never talked about the wind and the fire again. And when the church manages to get the attention of the world, this is what the church has to say. Jesus of Nazareth, the very Son of God in human flesh, went all the way into death in order to remove the stain of the sin of all people of all time. And by the will of God, this same Jesus rose from the dead in clear display of his glorious power and majesty and has now returned to the eternal presence of God the Father. And from there, he sends his Holy Spirit to make possible the faith to believe and accept that this promise of forgiveness of life and salvation is real. It's the only message the church has. It's the only message that can truly change the world. The problem is, of course, getting the world to hear what we have to say. What would it take, do you suppose, to bring the world to our door in breathless anticipation? Noisy wind, little flames on our heads would probably not do much in our culture overrun with computer-generated images and infused with artificial intelligence. And yet the challenge to us is the same as it was to those in the first church. The lesson for us is that the church, when all of that happened to them, was just busy being the church. Those who came to hear were attracted by the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit does. And when the folks came, the church was ready for them. The real question for us is, if the world should somehow be attracted to us, would they be amazed by what they saw and heard here when they encounter us? The first church spoke about the impossible things that God was making possible among them. They were truly amazed at what was happening in the middle of their existence every day as they openly talked with each other about the wonders of God that they had witnessed in the person of Jesus and how their lives had changed since the resurrection. The things that those first believers were doing every day echoed in their love and forgiveness that they had learned from Jesus. The relationships that they evidenced with each other mirrored the relationship with their Creator God had established with them when he sent his Son among them. And the story that they had to tell was about the change that had taken place because God had set out to find those who had wandered off from his presence and were lost in sin and shame and hurt and anger. And when the word came to find out what the power of the Holy Spirit was leading them to hear, they found a group of folks talking about extraordinary things that were taking place in the middle of their ordinary lives. And when they heard, some of them believed. And the church grew. And the point for us is that, for the most part, our job is to just be in the way where the Holy Spirit is leading people. And when we come into contact with those people, we tell them by our words and by what we do and how we behave that God is up to some pretty amazing things in our ordinary lives. And because of the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus, sounds pretty simple, but it is the way in which God has chosen to change the world. that doesn't mean, of course, that we simply sit idly by waiting for the Spirit to herd folks in our direction. The first church was where the world was likely to be next. The whole community was busy with the celebration of their national holidays, and the church was right there in the middle of it. Might be what's going on in our country today, you know, on this national holiday weekend. And when they had the opportunity to speak, they knew exactly what to say. They knew the message wasn't about loud noises or funny little flames of fire. They knew what the world needed to hear because they had heard it themselves. And it had been just what they needed to hear. And because they had heard it themselves and had it because what was they needed to hear, what came out of their mouths made sense because the message was true for them first. Before it was true for anyone else, they had come to know themselves that Jesus was not just their teacher and leader and friend. He was all of that and probably first. But in time, they recognized him as the sent one of God who had made their lives completely new by what he told them about God and by what he did as the sacrifice of God for the sins of the whole world. And when they came to understand that by the gift of faith from God's Holy Spirit, they were never the same again. So our job is to be where the Spirit is, and where the Spirit is leading people to meet us. That might not necessarily be inside this building, but it might be. Some might want to come here because of our preschool, or because they're looking for a nice, attractive place to worship, or because you invited them to be here. But we are far more likely to run into people who desperately need to hear what we know about God and what God is up to when we are away from here. And it might just be that we'll have to go out intentionally looking for ways to bump into them. But for sure, when we do, when we have the opportunity, we have to be able to clearly say what it is that we know about the wonders of God. Whenever we meet up with the world, they have to be able to understand what we are saying and that what we are saying is going to make a difference in their lives if they listen. They have to hear the message. And the message is always the same. We know for sure that the love of God for us in Jesus is so strong that it overcomes all of our sin and all of our shame and all of our selfishness and inconsistency and intolerance, all our hurtful actions. It heals our sicknesses and fills up our incapacity and takes us into the presence of our Creator God, where because of that love, we will live forever, beginning now. Our lives in this world are so changed and strengthened by that power that we, simple, ordinary people, get to proclaim out loud the wonders of God in words and actions that anyone from anywhere can understand, because those words and actions will obviously be the love of God at work. That's something the world needs to hear and see. Here's the really great thing. The message itself is always and also the strength, the source of energy, the life-changing power by which that message continually gets lived out among us. We are, you and I, the people of God in this place. And part of what we do here is to continually remind ourselves by our participation in the Word and sacraments, always becoming what God has already made us, His body, the church, so that we can always be going out from here to be what he has called us to be when we're out of here, his witness to the world. By the power of God's Almighty Spirit, we proclaim with our lips and shout out loud with our lives that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father, by the power of his Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus and to the glory of God. Amen. We stand to pray.
come to you, and you will give them the living waters of your grace. So we come, Lord, hungry and thirsty for your grace. Refresh us by your Spirit, that we may be made bold to confess, to live out the truth of your word. Lord, in your mercy, head of the body, raise up faithful leaders within your church, that those who minister may be faithful stewards of your mysteries. Bless all who hear your word with your Spirit, that they may respond with faith and confess Jesus as Lord. Lord, in your mercy. O God, before whom all will bow in heaven and on earth, guide the nations and those who lead them, especially our president, governor, all elected and appointed leaders. Keep them accountable to you and guide them in the paths of justice, freedom, and peace. Protect and defend our armed forces as they work to protect and defend us across the globe. Be with all law enforcement, fire, and rescue personnel, and all who put themselves in harm's way for the care and protection of the community. Strengthen and sustain their families that they may watch and wait with peace and confidence. Lord, in your mercy, Creator of all, visit the homes of your people and bless husbands and wives, parents and children, widowed and single. Give us contentment in whatever state we are, and move us to love one another with purity and kindness of heart as you first loved us. Lord, in your mercy, most high and holy God, pour out your Spirit upon your people that we give generously, serve faithfully, act wisely in every circumstance for the extension of your kingdom, the blessing of our community, and for the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, show your kindness, giver of peace to all in need in all our afflictions. Grant us patience, healing, and peace according to your will. Bless the sick, the suffering, the grieving, and the dying, that in all their need they may know your sufficient grace. Lord, in your mercy, O God, you make all things new. Refresh us in body and soul, that through this holy communion we may be united in faith and in will for the confession of your name to all people and for the work of your kingdom here and in every corner of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we place all for whom we pray. Renew us in faith that all we do and say, all we are, may be for your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. Thank you. betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "All of you drink of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in true faith unto life that never ends. Go in peace and joy. The Lord is with you. Amen. Peace. Amen. We remain standing to sing there.